So today we're going to look at Daddy by Sylvia Plath. So anyone want to start off?
Well, usually we introduce ourselves. So I'm Jana.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Trevor.
Who wants to read?
I'll read. You do not do any more black shoe, in which I have lived like a foot for 30 years, poor and white, barely deigning to breathe or chew. Daddy, I have had to kill you. You died before I had time. Marble heavy, a bag full of God, gassy statue with one gray toe, big as a Frisco seal, and a head in the freakish Atlantic where it pours bean green over blue in the waters of beautiful Nauset. I used to pray to recover you. Ach, du. In the German town, in the Polish town, scraped flat by the roller of wars, wars, wars. But the name of the town is common, my Polack friend. Says there are a dozen or two, so I never could tell you where you put your foot down, your root. I could never talk to you. The tongue stuck in my jaw. It stuck in a barbed wire snare. Ich. I could hardly speak. I thought every German was you and the language obscene. An engine, chuffing me off like a Jew. A Jew to Dachau, Auschwitz, Belsen. I began to talk like a Jew. I think I may well be a Jew. The snows of the Tyrol, the clear beer of Vienna, are not very pure or true. With my gypsy ancestress and my weird luck and my Tarak pack, I may be a bit of a Jew. I have always been scared of you, with your Luftwaffe, your gobbledygoo, your neat mustache, and your Aryan eye, bright blue. Panzerman, oh you, not God, but a swastika, so black no one could squeak through, every woman adores a fascist, the boot in the face, the brute heart of a brute like you. You stand at the blackboard, Daddy, in the picture I have of you, a cleft in your chin instead of your foot, but no less a devil for that. No, not any less the black man who bit my pretty red heart in two. I was 10 when they buried you, at 20 when I tried to die, and get back to you. I thought even the bones would do, but they pulled me out of the sack and stuck me together with glue, and then I know what to do. I made a model of you, a man in black with a Mein Kampf look and a love of the rack and the screw. I said, I do, so Daddy, I'm finally through. The black telephone's off at the root, the voices can't roar through. I've killed one man, I've killed two, the vampire who said he was you, and drank my blood for a year, 7 years, if you want to know. Daddy, you can lie back now. There's a stake in your fat black heart, and the villagers never liked you. They are dancing and stamping on you. They always knew it was you. Daddy, you bastard, I'm through.
All right. The thing that stands out most to me in this is the Nazi imagery. I was wondering what you guys thought about the significance of that and why it's there.
I think it shows, like, let me just die here for a second, the victimizing of that she's putting onto herself with her dad being the Nazi and her Jew.
Yeah, that idea of an authoritarian figure and how the Nazis persecuted the Jews, treated them almost as less than people. And it, as we notice, it's not just the fact that she considers her father a Nazi, but that she also considers herself specifically a Jew.
Yeah, I thought it was important that not only does he treat her in this way, but she starts to believe it. I think I may well be a Jew.
Yeah, that's a submissive nature, that she's fully accepted the relationship that she's been put in. And I think that not only does she accept their relationship, but she finds a need for it, which is why she finds the other person that's so alike her dad in that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's very common in real life. We find that when you're in one abusive relationship, you find yourself in many throughout the course of your life. And this is just one example of that.
I can't remember what exactly it is, but it is for it. It's not the Oedipus complex, but it's the other type of complex that is for girls, Electra complex, where you look for your dad and other people because that's where you're most comfortable and comfortable with familiarity.
Yeah, and usually you're according to Freud, you're supposed to get over that around 5 or 6, but if you don't, then stuff like this happens, and that sort of abusive relationship with your father can make you less likely to get over it.
The only question, real big question I have with this is in the second stanza, when she goes, marble heavy, a bag full of God, ghastly statue with one gray toe, big as a Frisco seal. The rest of the imagery, I think, is more concise, especially when it gets to the Nazi, but I never was really quite sure what they meant, what she meant by that.
Well, I took a bag full of God as being, she has, this dad has so much power, so he's like a godlike figure in her life, has ultimate control over her, and like everything she does. And then the big as a Frisco seal. I guess that's San Francisco?
Mm-mm.
No?
Frisco is a style of painting or sculpture. I can't remember.
Would it be a German style? You know, would you?
Originating in Italy, but it was common throughout Europe during the Renaissance. And that would line up with marble heavy and a ghastly statue. It's all
part of this art sculpting style. Gotcha.
But so, why?
So would this be referencing maybe the model that she references later, how she had to make a model of him, almost?
Yeah.
Or she maybe uses that as, like, a base or like a statue, like, you'd use that as reference for a painting, as reference for someone else?
Mm-hmm. I also thought it might be a way of making the father come across as perfect. You carve a statue with the intention that they're perfect. And this imagery lends to that, but then also with a bag full of God furthers that and makes it clear that the statue is meant to be ideal.
So is the statue like a monument to her dad?
I think there is no statue. The statue is her dad.
And yeah, I think that would make sense, because if we talk about that of Sylvia Plath in general, a much more confessional poet, where you can more align the speaker with the author, and that it probably is very personal. So every metaphor and symbolism in this is more personal than, let's say, like Matthew Arnold or someone.
Mm-hmm. And since you mentioned Matthew Arnold, Sylvia Plath is one of the best authors to use historicism on, because she so frequently wrote characters with mental instabilities, and she herself was depressed her whole life and committed suicide. And her emotions and her personality come across very plainly in a lot of her poetry.
Another part of the poem I think is interesting is that whenever she describes nature or natural surroundings, it's always very vivid. Very vivid descriptions of the nature, like when she talks of the sea, or she says, where it pours bean green over blue and the waters of beautiful Nauset. Or later when she talks about the snow of the Tyrol and the clear beer of Vienna.
I think one thing that lends to the poem would be that those are all places in Central Europe, and it adds to the Nazi-Jew dynamic. But I'm not sure what the significance would be of why that imagery is so vivid.
I think it like helps to contrast this beautiful imagery with like her mean father.
And that makes sense with the references to the Luftwaffe and the Panzers. every time it references machinery or military equipment, it's less vivid and more straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that generally the World War II had mostly scarred Europe, even its land, everything. And maybe that is what it's referencing, as she appreciated the area she lived in, and she appreciated who she was and where she grew up. But her dad, like the war or the machinery of the war, slowly took it over and perversed that area. And then at the end, she compares him almost to a monster, and that description in general, she sees him almost as inhuman, as inhumanly perfect, or as inhumanly evil.
Yeah, and I think it's also important that it's in particular a vampire. It's sucking her life force away, which is very representative of the relationship that the rest of the poem described.
Yeah, she has been with him for 7 years, and I wonder if the poem in the end, if she has accepted this fact that she is able to move past her daddy, or is this still, as Chisnell says, like an antithesis to it, so the more she resists it, the more it has prevalence over her, or is this in the end more general acceptance of her situation?
I think you can sort of see both in the last line. She says she's through, but she also calls him a bastard in the same line. It doesn't seem like she's emotionally over her past. It also doesn't seem like she should be. Yeah. It's not the kind of thing you get over.
How did the dad die? Because I know it says, like, I've killed one man, I've killed two. So, but did she kill him? Because that's not what I got from Les.
I can't remember if she referenced it. She says, Daddy, I have had to kill you. So I wonder, does she mean that literally, or does she mean just the memory? But it seems like that she wasn't able to kill the memory.
It never says exactly how he dies. The most direct references to his death would be, I was 10 when they buried you.
Yeah.
So does this mean that she literally killed the second man in her life, or would she have just tried to get over that same as she did to her dad, but in the end is she even over him?
I thought when her trying to kill her dad was like her trying to kill the memory of her dad, not actually physically killing him.
Is she ever able to do that, though? Because it seems like it just keeps on coming back and back. And she depends on it, regardless if she realizes it or not, that she needs that kind of relationship.
Yeah. What I saw in the killing was she blames herself for something that couldn't possibly have been entirely her fault, which lines up again with the Nazi Jew dynamic, that anything bad that happens to the Nazi figure is obviously the Jew's fault. And in this case, since she is admitting that she's a Jew and that makes her less than him, she's also willing to admit that it's her fault that he died, even though it's not.
She completely takes on that victimization, that whole mentality. But she still has a part of him, I think, and that's why you can see with the German language used in there too, that like him, she's still German, like her dad, she still has a part of her dad in her, and that part isn't ever going to leave. And then I also thought it was such a strong word to use, kill. That's a very, like, very finishable word, I guess. I don't know where the word to describe it, but it's a very specific choice to say that she killed him rather than she, like, just saying that he had passed or something. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we think that the biggest part of this poem is the relationship between the speaker and the Nazis in her life who have this authoritarian grip over her. And she has trouble getting over this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes through in a lot of the way she speaks and the way she thinks. And with that, I think we're done.
Yeah, sounds good.